name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's Gospel, St. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened. There is a wonderful progression in this very short text. Baptism, prayer, revelation. Not that Jesus did not know who he was, but in his perfect humanity, he needed confirmation. We all do need confirmation. Confirmation of our identity, confirmation of our vocations. His was to be our Saviour. Jesus knew he was the Son of God, for before this baptism, he had undergone those 40 days of testing in the wilderness. And now he comes to the Jordan to be baptized to begin this ministry, but the details of his ministry and vocation were still unknown, as often are unknown to us. From the wilderness he comes, this beloved Son of God, to accept baptism from John the Baptist, the one who is not even worthy enough to untie Jesus' sandals. Jesus subjects himself to baptism as a servant to sinners. And so he begins his ministry as he would later define it. I am among you as one who serves. We sometimes treat him as our servant, happy to take the benefits he won for us without thinking about the cost. This verse of Luke chapter 3, verse 21 reminds us of what our pilgrimage should be like. An initiation into Christ, which leads to making our lives a prayer and to have heaven open for us. That is what our baptism should have done for us. For when we received the water of baptism, an identity was given to us, as it was to Jesus on this day, made us marked as children of God, marked with that sign of the Son of God, our brother, the cross. And like Christ, our life is to be a life of prayer. Easy to say. My prayer life, like yours, is quite simple and taken at best I can, but also very organized. As a priest, I delight in saying the divine office daily. Each morning begins with me saying the Venite. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. You don't have the obligations of the clergy, but if you do say morning and evening prayer, you know how wonderful that is, even though it can be demanding. My ordinary prayers are not nearly so wonderful. I'm no different to you, you see. Sometimes I pray, Lord, just be with me, or Lord, just help me this day. There was a time in my ministry when I just prayed to the Lord, get me through this day, and I'm sure you've done that on occasions. I try to be organized so that I can be a good praying priest. So when I arrive in the office every morning, I come into the church as a first thing and sit over there in front of Mary, looking at the tabernacle, seeing Jesus present. And my prayer is simple. I pray that I will be supported by the prayers of Mary and that she will help me to be a good priest and a good Christian, and I will serve Christ, my Saviour. For I need to be both those things, both a good priest and a good Christian. And I certainly need all the help I can get. Baptism bound me not only to Christ, but to his people. So I look to the saints who have run the race to encourage and support me. The saints in heaven, of course, but also you, my brothers and sisters, who are called also to be saints. And you know, when I think about it, there are still women in the parish where I grew up who still pray for me. And people, I guess, in previous parishes where I am no longer their priest, but still pray for me that I will be a good priest, as I hope you do too. And I pray for you, of course. That's not just my job, it's my joy. And as a priest, my day is punctuated by prayer for you all, especially those of you in need. I have my list, which is always prayed at midday and kept in my heart. And an interview or a visit brings out particular prayer for you, my people. And there is the Mass, the daily Mass, that wonderful meeting of heaven and earth where everything can be poured out and offered up, often without words, to Jesus, who knows our needs before we even ask. And all of us are called to this life of prayer by our baptism, priest or people, to offer up all the pain and problems, all the anxieties and the mistakes of those whose lives touch ours, and those particularly whom we are bound to by love. We are called to be intercessors, to beat the gates of heaven with our hearts, just like Jesus. But what of the voice of God that followed Jesus' prayer, that confirming that this was the beloved Son? I've been to the mountaintop, not the mountain of hope that Martin Luther King talked about, but that mount of transfiguration that happens in every Eucharist when our Lord is transfigured before our very eyes in the form of bread. Sometimes I can hardly believe that this beloved Son comes to me and to you in this wonderful sacrament. But he always has, and he still does. Though, of course, we often don't realise it. And this church where we celebrate the Eucharist, where Christ deigns to be our guest, is also our gate of heaven, or should be. Its familiarity is helpful. The prayers and worship we share encourage and support us. And the thought of those faithful people gone before us who have prayed in this church, some we have worshipped with and laughed with. Mostly they are known to God alone, but here they prayed and were always heard, as we always are. And when Jesus prayed, heaven opened, and the Father's voice was heard, "This is my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." Later, this same beloved Son would teach us an immortal prayer which begins with those reassuring words, "Our Father who art in heaven." His Father and ours, and our Father does hear us and is utterly faithful. Our prayers gird our pilgrimage which leads from this life to the gate of heaven. That pilgrimage began at our baptism, which we perhaps reflect upon today in seeing Jesus baptized. And like Jesus, we will see heaven opened one day and hear those reassuring words, "Thou art my beloved Son, thou art my beloved daughter, with thee I am well pleased." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.